getting you set for today's game as part of our 7-hour pregame presented by Garage Units. Here's John Davis and former Bronco Orlando Franklin.
Tonight, the Denver Broncos and Case Keenum go against number one overall pick Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Orlando, do the Cleveland Browns have a better starting quarterback than the Denver Broncos right now?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield right now is a better quarterback than Case Keenum.
Yes. I mean, I just look at the numbers, man. I'm a numbers guy, man. And
19 to 10?
Yeah. I see Baker Mayfield has 19 touchdowns. Yeah, he's thrown 10 interceptions, but he also has 2,877 yards passing right now.
And playing and less games.
Didn't start the season off as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
So more touchdowns, same amount of picks. The yardage, I think, makes sense because he's played less games. So that's why
I think he might have more as of right now.
I think Case is in the 3,000s and Baker's.
Case is already at 3,000.
I think so.
Oh.
I could be wrong on that.
Yeah,
but
so.
But it's.
I mean, as far as.
So you're an O lineman.
When I see a ceiling, I don't see a ceiling in where Baker Mayfield could go.
Not about the ceiling, though, right now.
Right now, he is twice as better as Case Keenum.
31-39 yards for Case Keenum.
He continues to get better. And Case is the same person. Which, you know, Case is on pace to break his record of last year and be a better quarterback than he was last year.
On paper,
but we sit here, we watch the games each and every week, and he's not an exciting person to watch week in, week out. A guy that just holds on to the ball. I mean, am I lying?
No, it's just he's not an exciting. You're right. That's what's funny about it. Like, he's not an exciting quarterback to watch.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he has a good grasp on managing the game. It doesn't look like he takes control of his team. And
so if you were playing today, you would want Baker, like, fourth quarter tie game.
If I was in the league.
But everything's on the line.
Fourth quarter tie game, everything's on the line. Oh, I'm definitely going with Baker Mayfield.
We've seen Case pull it together, though.
But we've also seen Case lose games also.
What games have we seen him lose?
Kansas City.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah,
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so Case Keenum, as I said, lost us the Kansas City Chiefs game, and so,
hey man, you put the ball 5 inches.
That's a win,
right? That's
a win. It's a win.
That's an absolute win.
He was open. He was wide open.
You're running off. You got to win.
But he's won us games. Seattle, Oakland. He put us in position in the Texans game.
Yeah, could have been better
Chargers.
Position.
Could have been better. Some of that was coaching.
Yeah.
But back to the
just of where their careers are at right now, and Baker Mayfield being a rookie in this league.
You would trust Baker Mayfield more if you were playing. That's the guy you would want.
Trust? Absolutely.
So what happened? So this past offseason, one of the reasons they talked about going with Case Keenum is a lot of the players didn't want to start over with a rookie.
Hey, the Cleveland Browns hit it right on the head with that draft pick. You know, it was kind of crazy because there was a lot of back and forth of Baker not being the first overall, and then all of a sudden it came out that he was going to be the first.
Yeah, it was Darnold.
I think they hit it right on the head with drafting Baker Mayfield and the type of quarterback that city needs.
Is he more special than the other guys that were drafted, Darnold? Specifically Darnold. I like Josh Rosen.
I don't know those guys' stats and what they have done this year. I'm just going off of the Cleveland Browns getting ready to play the Denver Broncos and the last couple games that the Browns have played to watching every game that Case Keenum has played this year. And Baker Mayfield is the more exciting quarterback. He's the more dynamic quarterback. And he is the more leader, like leadership-wise.
He's a better leader.
He's a leader. There's no question of when you talk about the Cleveland Browns and you talk about the leaders on that team. You say, who's your leader on defense? You're going to say Myles Garrett. Who's your leader on offense for that team? You're going to say Baker Mayfield. When you talk about the Denver Broncos, you're going to say, who's your leader right now? Right now on this defense, you're going to say Von Miller. Who's your leader on offense? I don't know.
Who would you? Yeah, wow. Well, maybe Paredes, but he's not even.
Exactly. No, right now, who's the leader for the Denver Broncos?
It would be Case Keenum. I mean, it's Case Keenum. But
do you believe that? That's what they're going to say, right? But do you believe that? In watching every game, week after week, do you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great leader. I'm not saying he's a great leader, but he is the leader of the Broncos. Is part of Baker Mayfield's situation the fact that he it's more so like this belief in himself and he doesn't listen to what other people.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
He seems to pretty much ignore like the outside noise about him and the criticisms.
Oh, you better be able to do that at the quarterback position.
Do you think Case Keenum hears those things?
I mean, if he does, you got to get rid of him. You can't keep him here. If that's the case, and he listens to the outside noise, there's always going to be outside noise. Literally always. Man, and I just always could go back to my play, you know, and I played in this league for a while. I like to think, you know, I've had average or above average career when I was in the NFL. And my first 3 years, I thought I was an average right tackle. My first year, I thought I was well above average my second and third year. And I went and played horrible in the Super Bowl. And literally after that, all the noise started coming out. And they moved me.
Positions.
Without even asking me if I was willing to make a switch. I was moved to left guard when they let Zane Beatles walk in free agency. And I was a top five right tackle in this league when I moved from the right tackle position. And I moved it to a completely different position. And that was because a lot of the outside noise.
The Broncos
you can't
heard.
Get away from okay. the outside noise.
Are you talking the Broncos
football.
Listened to the
yes.
outside noise and moved you? Okay.
Same situation in 2011. The Broncos did not want to make a change to Tim Tebow. Their hand was forced. When you walk around and you got people funding billboards of put Tebow in and put Kyle Orton on the bench. I mean, it becomes, the more it happens now, it just, at some point, so, it's just like, okay, here we go. But as a player in this league, there's always going to be people talking about you.
You and I.
You could have a perfect game, almost perfect game, and mess up one play. And people are only going to remember that one play. So you got to be able to not listen to the outside noise because you cannot be at your best when you're listening to the outside noise and you're hearing what other people are saying.
Do you think he listens to it? Based on how he plays?
I would say yes, because we saw him throw the ball down the field, be a lot more aggressive earlier on in the season. Then as those interception numbers went up, I think that, and people started harping on it and talking about a guy that threw 9 interceptions all year last year, already threw 10 through the first, 8 games?
Yeah,
I believe that. He definitely listens to the outside noise at that because his style of play has changed.
He's scared to be aggressive, and then that brings us back to the aggressive thing. So if a rookie quarterback, I get that he's number one overall, but if Baker Mayfield can come into the league and already be better than Case Keenum, did the Broncos get it wrong by not taking a quarterback at number 5?
The book's not done on Bradley Chubb and won't be done on Bradley Chubb for the next 10, 12 years. And you got a guy, a very quality guy that can get after the quarterback that is on pace to beat that rookie record as far as sacks. So I don't think they got it wrong because they got better. I mean, in this league, where we're at right now in this league, you need, it's not like in the 90s, in the 80s, where you only need that one, you know, prolific pass rusher. You need two. And we saw it the most when the whole Faxgate situation happened that year with Elvis Dumervil, and he leaves in free agency, and now we just got Von Miller. And we saw Von Miller's play take a huge dip that year. So I believe that they got it right with getting a guy like Bradley Chubb, especially how successful he is. But they also do need to find a way to address this quarterback position, because until you get your face of the program, until you get your prolific quarterback, until you get your guy that's going to be here for the next 10 to 15 years, you never know what direction you're going to go in.
I think Bradley Chubb's amazing. I don't think they got the pick wrong at all. It's Orlando Franklin and John Davis, brought to you by Garage Units. Need a space for your classic car, boat, or RV? Go to garageunits.com. That's Garage Units with a Z. Keys to a Broncos victory on offense today. Orlando's got him. He tells us next.
Getting you set for today's game as part of our 7-hour pregame presented by Garage Units. Here's John Davis and former Bronco Orlando Franklin.
Big O. 6-7 Broncos played a 5-7-1 Cleveland Browns, who, by the way, everybody's talking about them, are the greatest team that's ever played in the National Football League. If the Broncos are going to win this game tonight, offensively, what is the biggest key to their victory?
Run the football. This offense is productive through the run game. You got to find a way to be effective and efficient in the run game, because we know that even when Case Keenum throws the ball over 40 times, that he's not going to have this huge day as far as over 300-yard pass and 3 touchdowns. That's just not going to happen.
Was the Seattle game.
So you need to, the first game of the season?
Yeah.
And we haven't seen it yet, right?
No, we haven't seen it again.
But we've seen them try to do it, the Jets game, and we've seen them try to do it last week, right?
Yeah, so it doesn't
happen.
So run the ball.
So run the football. You got to do what has been working for you. And if a team takes away a certain style of run, you got to be able to get creative in your play calling and be able to create different run plays where it's going to be a home run. No matter what, this is a 4-yard play. You got to run your bread and butter plays that you've been the most effective all season and the most able to gain the most amount of yards. You got to run those type of plays.
You're talking the 4-yard, create more manageable third downs, use the running game to set up.
Create more manageable second downs, and don't be predictable, man. We sat here last week, and what did I tell you every time?
Second down.
Here goes a run right here. They came out last week, and they were a predictable offense. They threw the ball on first down more often than not, and then they came back after incompletion, and they tried to run the ball on second down. At that point, you know, you do it once, you do it twice. Now it just becomes a habit, and San Francisco was able to scheme that. And then what did we start seeing happen? Tackle for a loss. Every time on second down, tackle for a loss. Now you're losing yards. Now you're at 3rd and 12. So stay ahead on down and distance, but yeah, don't become predictable as far as let's not just run the ball on one specific down.
You're talking predictability. Here's a question. Is it okay to be predictable running on first down, but it's not okay to be predictable running on second down?
It all depends on what happens, you know, on first down. You know, if you come out on first down and you throw the ball and you gain 4 yards, 5 yards, whatever, I mean, now it's second and short. So it's fine right there, because even if you don't gain no yards and you run the ball on second and five, you know, now you're looking at 3rd and 5. You know, the whole playbook is still open at that point as far as your passing options. But when you come out in a game and you run and you throw the ball on first down and an incompletion happens, and then you try to run the ball on second down, that's not okay, because everybody's gearing up and is ready for that. Everybody's expecting to run, especially with the team that relies so much on their running game. So they're just able to stack the box and create a negative play at that point.
How do you avoid being predictable? Because everybody knows the Broncos are going to want to come out and run the ball tonight.
Yeah, it's up to you to get it done, though.
Get it done. I mean, that's why you get paid?
Yeah, there's one or two things that could happen on each and every play in the NFL, right? It's 50% pass, 50% run when the team breaks the huddle. It's up to the defense either to stop it, and it's up to the offense to make it work. So, but you got to be creative in your runs, you know, as far as getting guys to the perimeter, as far as, you know, let's see that you know, on first down. Let's see that toss play where you, now you're getting Garrett Bowles and you're getting Billy Turner out there in space. Let's see those plays on different downs where it's not a predictable down to do it.
Not a predictable down. So that's tonight. You want to see it unpredictable. Does part of that quote-unquote unpredictability come with Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, using them both? Early on in the year, we would see that, like, each of them almost in that 15 carries. And then as the season went on, Royce got hurt. Do you want to see them trend back to that 15 carries each?
I want to see them go with whoever's being more effective. You know, if you come out, and however it looks, if you come out today and Philip Lindsay is not being that effective in the first quarter, but Royce Freeman is breaking off a 5-yard run, a 4-yard run after that, a 6-yard run, you know, then Royce Freeman gets majority of the carries today. You know, I don't want to see them say, hey, you know what, we have to get Philip Lindsay 14 carries today, or we have to get Royce Freeman this amount of carries. No, whoever's being more effective out there, whoever has a better feel for the game, because each game, it's a game within a game. I mean, as a running back, you're either going to run it up in there, or you're going to bounce it, or you're going to cut it back. You know, there's three things you're going to do with the ball. So if a running back is seeing it a little bit better than the other one, you got to be able to say, hey, you know what? Now this guy's going to get majority of the carries today, and the other one needs to take a back seat to him. And nothing against either one of those backs. They're both really good running backs. But you got to find a way to maximize your yardage per play in order to be successful, in order to have a chance to win a football game.
Go with the hot hand.
Yeah.
That's what you usually like to say.
Yeah.
Out of us, which one of us is the hot hand?
I don't know.
You know, oh, good, okay, I was just waiting for you to just say it was you and this. And throw me away. So the Broncos, though, obviously you can't come out and run the ball absolutely every single play. What do they do in the pass game?
Take your shots when they're there. You know, don't just become one-dimensional and try to throw the ball 10 yards down the field each and every time. You know, you got to be able to take your deep shots. Case Keenum has been doing an exceptional job this year of throwing the ball deep left, you know, and that was his big knock when he was coming into the season. But we've seen him complete deep throws to the left. We've seen him complete deep throws down the middle of the field. And we also seen him complete deep throws to the right. So as of right now, you just kind of go with whoever's open, but stay aggressive in the passing game. If you got a guy that's running an out route at 10 yards, but you also got a guy that's running a seam route and is man-to-man coverage, and he has a one step on the defender, and you can make that throw and throw it down the field for an opportunity to pick up 25, 30 yards as opposed to 10 yards, take your chances. Be explosive out there.
So that aggressiveness that Vance Joseph called for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you want to see him focus on? You're talking about that. You were big on Deshaun Hamilton last week.
We got somebody that just texted in and said the run with the hot hand theory is the worst running strategy situation you can have on your team.
Why?
And I think he's saying because it changes who your starter is and who isn't your starter and who your number one and versus your number two is. But, I mean, you got two different style of runners. So that's why I don't really agree with that, because you have two different style of runners and they both are going to see the field differently. You got to go with who's being more effective that day. And it's not like you have that much big of a drop off with Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. They both have been very dynamic people. I mean, Philip Lindsay, yeah, the yards per carry, it's exceptional. But Royce Freeman, you know, one thing that he does really well and why I would trust him as far as going with the hot hand is his yards after contact. You know, he's third in the league. We talked about it earlier in the show. And for a guy to be third in the league as a rookie for yards after contact means that he's a hard runner. So he could get some things done for you in the running game. So I don't really agree with that being the worst theory, especially because it's not like, you know, you see different teams where they'll have like a Chargers team that will have Melvin Ingram or Melvin Gordon as their starter, and then Echo be their backup. That's a big drop off. But right now we have two guys that one has started and the other has started, and both of them have started when the other is healthy. You know, with the Chargers, the between Echol starting and Gordon not playing, it's because one of them has been injured. So I believe you can win games, and I think with where this Broncos team is, going with the hot hand is not a bad situation with this team, because you've got two running backs that could get it all done.
And Philip Lindsay's very unique stylistically, generally speaking. But they say in UFC all the time, mixed martial arts, they say styles make fights. And sometimes you pick the running back that's matching up the best and can do it and let him prove it. You also always say, when I say who do the Broncos throw to, you say throw it to the guy that's open.
Yeah.
But anyways, you got something on the text line. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
I can tell you're looking at
Adrian Peterson would have a lot less 150 yard games if the Vikings would have used the strategy in his career. But who was the number two? Adrian Peterson was the clear cut number one. That's not the case here with the Broncos. With Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, there wasn't no clear-cut number one. Royce Freeman started off as the number one running back. Royce Freeman got hurt. Philip Lindsay became the number one and has been dynamic ever since, but was dynamic before, so now his carries increased. But last week, guys, we're talking about last week.
Freeman was better last week.
Royce Freeman was the better runner than Philip Lindsay was last week, and Royce Freeman only got 6 carries compared to Philip Lindsay getting 16, 17 carries. So it took them all the way to the second half to realize that Royce Freeman is the better runner at this point, and that in turn hurt the team in the long run as far as them being efficient in the running game last week.
They could have stayed on the field more last week. So go with the hot hand when it comes to these two. He's talking specifically to the Broncos, not an overall running back philosophy with the Broncos. That's the key to the Denver Broncos. Offense winning today, defense. O tells us the biggest key next.
Getting you set for today's game as part of our 7-hour pregame. Presented by Garage Units. Here's John Davis and former Bronco Orlando Frank.
We Will Rock You. What movie does this remind you of, O? Mighty Ducks. We constantly have a debate on this show. What's the best Mighty Ducks movie, 1 or 2? I think we're unanimous with D2, right? He's Orlando's into that text line. D2.
I mean, I know D1's a classic. And I
you can't go wrong.
I mean, I love them all, but D2 is my favorite.
Hit us up, RamosLaw.com text line. Mighty Ducks 1 or 2. 303-713-1043. Let us know. Which Mighty Ducks would you like better? Orlando, Broncos tonight. What is the Broncos' biggest defensive key to winning tonight?
Oh, confuse the heck out of this offensive line. You know, I look at their left tackle. And Harrison, I think his first name is DeAndre or something like that, Harrison. And he has 8 holding calls on the season. That's he has 13. Who? Oh, Greg Robinson's actually playing now. Greg Robinson from the Rams. The first round pick for the Rams back in the day.
Greg Robinson. He also played for the Milwaukee Bucks in the 90s and was known as Big Dog Greg Robinson.
Yeah, I guess they actually moved on from Desmond Harrison.
Okay, but either way, confuse the line. Confuse the line.
Expose this offensive line. Because Greg Robinson's a guy that's been on 3 teams, 3 different teams.
And the Milwaukee Bucks in the 90s.
He's been on 3 different teams. So it was a first-round pick and just couldn't hang out there with the Rams, and they got rid of him real quick. Brought him in to play left tackle. They moved him in to left guard, and I guess they ended up benching Desmond Harrison because he was a guy that was getting a ton of penalties earlier in this season. And you got to be able to expose these guys. You know, Bradley Chubb needs to have a day. Von Miller needs to have a day. But also run different games at these guys where they put these offensive linemen in bad situations where now they're going to get these holding calls, because they will. They absolutely will. I mean, and I know he's not started now, but he was 13. Desmond Harris was 13th in the league as far as penalties called against him this year.
Wait, he was 13th?
13th in the league with 8.
There's people with more than that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
8 is so many. What's the most you had in a season?
The most I've had in a season is 5.
Look at you.
That's a ton.
That's too many?
Way too
many. Is 1 too many?
Yeah, man.
One's too many. Real quick, though.
You have a guy like Peyton Manning back there. You,
You shouldn't be doing that.
You shouldn't be doing that. Look how and he cusses you out every time.
Look how stressed out you got thinking about that. Nobody could see it. The second Orlando talked about getting a penalty with Peyton Manning, he got his shoulders went up and he looked upset. But you said earlier, you said confuse the Browns' offensive line.
Yeah.
How do you confuse an offensive line?
You run different stunts at them. You run stunts between the defensive tackles and the DNs.
What's an example of a stunt?
Where the defensive tackle and the defensive end basically on the snap switch responsibility. Now one that started off as an inside rusher now becomes an outside rusher.
Okay.
So you're running different like little line games. You've played basketball before, right? The little three-man weave.
Oh, the weave.
Yeah, you're replacing guys' spots. And so you run different stunts at them. And if you're able to run different stunts at them, it's going to confuse guys, especially for an offensive line unit that hasn't played together for the whole year. You know,
and they're not particularly good.
Yeah,
anyway.
Offensive line is all about camaraderie and being able to, you know, just understand what the next guy is thinking that's right next to you. And for them to bench Desmond Harrison and put in this Glenn Robinson kid, and we the got guys dog. Writing in saying it's Glenn Robinson, not Greg.
Glenn Robinson. Oh, yeah, Glenn Robinson was the basketball player. I'm right. They corrected me.
Yeah.
Or they're right. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so but when you got guys that haven't played a ton of football together, they're not going to be as in sync. So it's going to be easier to run these different games and these different line stunts, whether you're pirating the defensive end. And these little subtle movements where a guy lines up as a three technique, as a snap on the outside shoulder tip of the guard and on the snap of the ball now spikes into the A-gap where now is supposed to be where the guard and the center was. You know, it's an extra step. So you're able to get guys off balance and be able to edge guys and now put guys in bad positions and make guys have to hold you and be able to get opportunities to get back to the quarterback.
And so, but you're talking on the pass rush.
Yes.
They got a pretty good running back, Nick Chubb, cousin of Bradley Chubb, I believe. They're related.
Oh, I don't know.
Second cousin of Bradley Chubb. So Nick Chubb, this guy can run well. Browns offensive line run blocking. They're like the Broncos, where they're a better unit. I think they're a better unit in the run block than they are the pass. What'd you read? You just looked at me.
No. I think they're way better in blocking the run rather than the pass. Absolutely. But this Denver Broncos defense has answered the bell, you know, answered their calling when it came to this run defense. And, you know, we see teams be successful early in the game. You know, this team, this Broncos defense is going to have to start fast today and be able to take away that run game as quick as possible. You don't want to have them be able to rely on that later on in a game that we saw San Francisco try to do last week. So they need to be able to be aggressive and be able to make plays in the backfield early in the game and make this team as one-dimensional as possible.
I'm not worried about the run game. The Browns.
Well, you got to be
fine, but it's not going to.
I mean, because the bend but don't break approach that the Broncos have had since the Rams game.
Right.
That's why.
Okay.
But I want to see them come out and shut it down. You know what I mean? Come out and not have a guy nowhere near to a 100-yard rusher. Make a statement. Nowhere near getting 4 yards of carry. You know, have them think that they have to be one-dimensional. I have to put the ball in the air with Baker Mayfield. Now, that's when your pass rush becomes special. When your pass rush knows and everybody in that stadium knows that, hey, they cannot run the ball on us, so they have to throw it on us. And now you're just in pass rush mode and you're going against an offensive line that is not that good in blocking for the quarterback. Now you're able to get after the quarterback and make some special things happen in the passing game. Like you say every week that you want to see, right? You want to see that strip sack.
The strip sack. It's happening tonight. It's happening tonight.
So now when you make a team one-dimensional, that's when that comes up. You're able to create those strip sacks and pick the ball up and be running the opposite way.
So you agree with me there's going to be a strip sack today?
Yeah, I could see it happening.
Of course you could see it happening. Stand up, die on this hill with me. Are the Broncos going to get a strip sack?
Yeah, they're going to get a strip sack.
Chubb or Vaughn?
doesn't matter. See, that's your issue. You just get too greedy with stuff. Why does it matter?
I get too greedy?
Yeah. Now you already got me to agree out of nowhere that there's going to be a strip sack today. I didn't want to agree to that, right? I'm saying it could happen. But you got me to agree that there will be a strip sack today,
why
right?
Why can't you? Why don't now you agree to something? You're such a flip-flopper.
Who's going to get the strip sack? I don't know. Shelby Harris.
Shelby Harris is going to get the strip. That's going to be... a lot will have to happen for him to...
Yeah.
Don't be such a flip-flopper, O. Be willing to believe in your convictions with what you say. On here. So Orlando proposes that the Broncos will get a strip sack today. I agree with him. And he thinks Bradley Chubb is going to do it. So, what about with the defense, the Broncos secondary completely? I get that you don't want to blame injuries, but my God, Chris Harris Jr. has been the most consistent player on this team for probably the past 3 years.
Yeah, it's very evident that you're missing a guy like Chris Harris.
What does the secondary do?
But I mean, a great pass rush. If you're able to get after the quarterback, create those pressures, create those hurries, and to get those sacks, I mean, a great pass rush is going to hide a depleted secondary. So this front seven needs to be absolutely special, and they got to get after the quarterback and be able to get in the face of Baker Mayfield, but also contain him because he's a quarterback that is looking to get out the pocket and extend plays and then be able to make throws down the field. And you don't want that to happen when you have a depleted secondary. So it's all up to Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Shane Ray, when they're at these defensive end positions, containing them and keeping them in the pocket. But it's also up to Derek Wolfe, Gotsis, Paco, Shelby Harris, Kerr, and getting pressure and creating that pressure up the middle lane where now Baker Mayfield is not able to step up in the pocket and either make a throw or step out of pressure and go make a play with his legs.
Hear that? O has said it all show. I agree with him. It's up to that Broncos pass rush. Going to be the biggest key to victory today, offense or defense?
The biggest key today?
Yeah, is offense or defense? The pass rush. Is it the biggest key between the offense and the defense? If you could pick one thing. For the Broncos.
No, pass rush. When your pass rush is special, man, I've been a part of Tim Tebow teams, man. You got a special pass rush, everything else works itself out.
Every excuse to bring up your best bud, Florida Gator legend, Tim Tebow, you hop all over it. You love that guy. All right, Broncos, Browns, who wins? We get to that next.
Getting you set for today's game as part of our 7-hour pregame presented by Garage Units. Here's John Davis and former Bronco Orlando Franklin.
Oh, tonight, Saturday night football. Did you not play with the Chargers? They played Saturday night against the 49ers a few years ago. I don't know. I can't remember if you were on the Chargers at that time or not. No, you would not have been. It would have been your last year here because it was Tebow against, that was Thursday night. Tebow Jets was a Thursday night game. So you never played a Saturday night game. But tonight, Broncos, Cleveland Browns.
I'm happy that they're playing on Saturday, man. I was
looking to hang out with me more?
No, man. Tomorrow's my birthday, so, you know, I didn't want to really come into work, so.
We're coming to work tomorrow morning.
Well, we're coming for the morning, but we don't have the end game. We have it tonight, so I'm looking forward to whatever my wife has planned. It better be good.
Everybody text in, happy birthday to Orlando, 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com text line. Text him happy birthday. He's turning 42 years old. Oh, we're all really excited.
I feel 50, man.
So everybody wish Orlando a happy big 42nd. He wants to, what do you want to do, jumping castle?
No.
Dude, that thing would fall over if you got it in.
What, a little bouncy house?
Yeah.
Dude, when Toys R Us and Babies R Us was going out of business, I had went to one and bought this bouncy castle for my son. And mind you, my son's like 3 months old when they're going out of business, so he can't even get into this thing. It says until like he's 7 years old.
Yeah, you got it. You're gonna be hanging on to that thing for a while.
I cannot wait till he's seven because I'm definitely getting in it.
Okay, so Orlando is getting excited for about the year 2023 when him and his son will get in a jumping castle. Oh, Saturday night, besides being your birthday eve, Broncos, Browns, who wins?
Broncos win tonight.
I got the Broncos winning too. Do you have a score?
I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, but I think the Broncos are going to be able to get it done on defense. I think this path rush is just going to be prolific tonight and be able to get back and get after Baker Mayfield. But I also think that Bradley Roby's going to have a huge game tonight for the Broncos. and we need one from him.
Bradley Roby. What's a big game from Bradley Roby look like?
I think he's going to get an interception, and he's going to have a couple pass defenses, and he's not going to see a lot of balls thrown his way. I think that happens in the first half. He bats down two balls, defends two balls, and is able to get an interception, and he's going to be basically chilling out there the second half because Baker Mayfield's not going to try to throw the ball his way.
Wow, okay, so he's going to be on an island. Yeah. He's going to be able to do that. They have Jarvis Landry, who's a really, really good possession receiver. Yeah. Pritch broke him down really well, but everybody knows he gets like 100 catches, but like less than 1,000 yards. Like he's not this big game-breaker guy. And I think Callaway pops on highlights, but I don't think he's that big of a game-breaker as people lead to believe. But did you have a score, though? You didn't give me a score.
Yeah. I was getting there until you interrupted me.
I didn't interrupt you, but keep going.
Yeah, so I think the game's going to be very close. So I'm thinking right now, 20-17,
22-17.
20-17.
Gotcha. 20-17.
Yes.
I think that's my score. You took that from me.
You never told me your score.
I know. I actually think the Broncos win 24-13. I think they rattle Baker Mayfield early.
I like it.
And I don't think he ever gets out of it.
I like it. Especially at home, man. You got to go out there and you got to go get a win. You got to find a way to be dominant and make a statement win. And whether that's relying on a defense and getting that strip sack. And, I don't know that strip sack goes for a touchdown. I think we're going to see Phillip Lindsay run for a touchdown today. And we might also see Royce Freeman run for a touchdown today. But I don't think that Case Keenum is going to throw any touchdowns today. But, he's a quarterback. So if he does throw touchdowns, great job, because that's what you're supposed to do. But
for him, it's bonus.
Yeah, for him, it's definitely a bonus thing. But I think that this running game is going to get back on track today for the Broncos. You're going against a team that on paper is not one of the better rush defenses. So you got to be able to take advantage of it. I think you told me earlier that they were giving up 133 yards rushing.
Yeah, I think if I read that correctly, that's what it said.
Per game. So the Broncos, being that they're a team that relies heavily on the run and does a really good job of it throughout all the games that we saw this year, except last week, they got to be able to get back on track. And, you got to be able to have a nice combination of your thunder and lightning, which that's Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay.
So you got, what about earlier? You talked about this, though, in David Njoku. You think he is going to create problems for the Broncos today?
I mean, I just go off the history, and tight ends have created issues week in, week out for this team. They weren't able to address it the first game of the season, and I go off of the last game of the season, which was week 13, your 13th game, and they have clearly not been able to adjust it as well. So I know that this league's a copycat league, and people copy other teams, so look for a lot of the same route combinations. They got George Kittle open last week and got him to a historic day and a record-breaking first half with 210 reception yards.
But as we spoke earlier, you think with the starting safety combination, obviously Justin Simmons, Will Parks, Simmons playing strong, Will Parks playing free safety, you think that could be the key to the Broncos mitigating the bleed, stopping the bleeding that is the tight end?
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to start Darren Stewart.
So it doesn't matter what we think?
Yeah, so I think that the tight end's going to have some success unless they flat out decide to bench Darren Stewart for Will Parks, which I don't see that happening. I think that the Broncos are going to continue to struggle with the tight end. But I think that Will Parks and the Justin Simmons combination gives you your best option, your best tandem of being able to somewhat contain a tight end.
So hopefully we get to see that tonight, Orlando. I'm going to loop back. Myles Garrett, I'm absolutely petrified of what this guy can do. I do think he is the best edge rusher they've played this year, save maybe J.J. Watt. But
wow, the best, huh?
Well, who? I mean, maybe Bosa?
Bosa, Ingram.
Garrett's better than Ingram. Garrett's
Terrell
better than Ingram.
Suggs.
He's better than Suggs right now, not prime Suggs, but
Clark from Seattle.
He's better than
Flower
him.
From the Rams.
You're just,
or was that before they
you're just naming
traded.
Everybody. Oh, because they got the from Jacksonville.
Yeah, Flowers.
Flowers Jones. Was on.
Jones from Arizona.
Oh, Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones has been
Clowney and J.J. Watt kind of.
I think he's as good. Ingram. I think he's as good or better than any of those guys.
T.J. Watt.
He's better than T.J. Watt.
Mm. Carlos Dunlap and Johnson combination.
Well, Garrett Bowles has had an awful. These tackles have played. You know, Clowney. We didn't even mention.
No, you just said he's the best. I mean, I'm just naming other guys that have had.
Who's clearly better
a lot
than him?
More success. J.J. Watt's better than him.
I said, say maybe J.J. Watt.
Bosa, Joey Bosa.
You think Bosa's better than Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
How about this? But when we played the Chargers, Bosa was still rusty.
Yeah.
So
we got to see.
Healthy Bosa. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to put it together these next couple weeks for sure.
How about that Chargers win the other night?
Yeah. You know, I picked them to win, man. Felt it in the air. And, you know, if the Broncos are not going to be a team that is going to make it in the playoffs, which it doesn't look like that, I mean, you got to root for the AFC West at the end of the day, especially a team that you already beat.
You got some old friends on that team, too.
Doesn't matter about friends. I couldn't care less. I don't cheer on people because of the friendship or anything like that. I like watching good football. And what we saw on Thursday night with the Chargers and the Chiefs was a great football game. You know, Phillip Rivers goes down there with 9 minutes left and literally, you know, scores two touchdowns with 9 minutes left. But not only that, you know, defense makes a great stand on a team that had the ball for 8 minutes the drive before. This defense for the Chargers goes out there and gets a three and out. You know, after that first touchdown, then Phillip Rivers gets the ball back, goes down there, scores a touchdown, and is also able to complete the 2-point conversion. I think it was a great football.
It was great football. If I was on the Chargers, would you cheer for the Chargers?
Yeah, man. If you were on any team, I'd cheer for them.
Thank you. So friendship does matter at some point. All right. My name is John Davis. He's Orlando Franklin. I'm his second best friend. Tim Tebow's his best friend. The man that knows more about football than anybody. I love listening to him. Cecil Lammy is next.